Joining me in the Catalyst studio today are Wendy Wesley, who is a dietitian and advocate for food availability, and city council person, Gina Driscoll. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So food insecurity and food availability is a large and multi-layered problem, and there are many, many facets to it. I think, you know, it's worth digging into some of the biggest repercussions of the issue first. And just once we sort of define the problem briefly, then we can have some fun looking at some of the different creative solutions that are out there. So, Wendy, do you want to kick us off with what you've seen?
Sure. I see patients, cardiac patients, stroke patients at a local acute care hospital, and many of them face food insecurity every single day. And this has serious negative impacts on their health. They know what to do. They want to do better, but they have no access to nutrient-dense food that can help control diabetes, lessen the effects of heart disease, and eventually prevent them from kidney failure dialysis.
So there's a pretty direct line to food and health, obviously, and then all the surrounding issues that come up with financial stresses and mobility, healthy lifestyle, and ability of brain power to think and perform jobs correctly and go forth.
Right. Without access to nutrient-dense foods, many of my patients are existing on a gas station convenience store diet because that is really all that's available to them. Transportation is a major issue. And I've actually had a couple patients for whom storage is an issue. Mm. So lack of refrigeration and lack of safe places to keep their foods because of where they live. They may not have a place where their roommates won't steal their food. I've seen that many times. So it kind of goes deeper. And if you live in a neighborhood where there's a Publix across the street from another Publix and a Whole Foods right down the street and a Trader Joe's and then a Winn-Dixie, it's not in your immediate sphere to understand food insecurity.
And Gina, how do you see these, you know, acute problems mapping over to the community as a whole?
It's a big problem if you go into some of our communities that don't have easy access to healthy foods. You know, these tend to be lower income neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they have problems attracting a traditional chain grocery store. For instance, there's one neighborhood or one area of our city in South St. Petersburg that is in a food desert. You know, the closest traditional grocery is about a mile away. And within that area, the average household income is about $35,000. The household size on average is 2.93. So you've got three people on average living in a home on $35,000 a year. That's not something that's going to attract a Publix or a Winn-Dixie. So in areas like that, we really do have to be creative with our solutions because the traditional solutions just simply are not going to be available to us.
So as you've been on the front lines of this issue, what are some of your favorite solutions or the most effective solutions that have come across your collective desks?
What I've seen that's been brought to the city for consideration is those creative solutions that I was just talking about, nonprofit grocery stores that also provide additional services, not only to help folks get healthy food on the table, but to help them address their overall financial situation and their life situation so that you can not only address today's needs, but help create a better future for those folks so that they have an opportunity to be more self-sufficient, get a better job, you know, get better financial management, things like that. I think that's a great solution when you're looking at an area that not only has food insecurity, but has trouble just making ends meet mm-hmm. every single month. You have to address that in a more holistic way to really, really solve the problem. Another option I absolutely love is the idea of having a grocery co-op. Mm-hmm. Co-ops are really gaining popularity as we see the benefits of community ownership of those community assets. And that's something that I am very supportive of. I've asked for money to be allocated in the city's budget to help forward that movement and help those folks who are really doing the work to get something like that started. And I hope to see us coming around and giving that financial support that's needed, as well as entertaining other creative solutions to the problem.
I think that the co-op can be one solution to the problem. I think it's a fantastic idea. I'm a member of the One Community Grocery Co-op, and right now we're looking for members, and we could use some marketing financial support to attract more members. With traditional grocery stores, the economic multipliers can be 1.2, 1.3. With grocery co-ops, they can be as high as 1.6, which means for every dollar spent at a grocery co-op, 1.6 remains in the community. So the multipliers are larger with co-ops. So members decide what's sold at the co-op, the guidelines for the co-op. Members, it's just kind of like a credit union in a way that the members decide how the ship is moved forward. So there's a lot of ownership. And if you want to know the epitome of grassroots, One Community Grocery Co-op is the epitome of grassroots in St. Pete. We are small and feisty and a bit struggling, but it's exciting to see what it can become.
Well, we'll make sure to include a link in the article that accompanies the audio so people can check it out. How about, you know, education? You know, to some extent, you've seen plenty of people, Wendy, who have access to the food and still don't partake of the healthiest options. And so, you know, distribution and food availability is a big piece of the puzzle. What are some of the other big pieces of the puzzle? You know, mainly education has to be a big one to get people to actually cook the food and adjust their diets to involve those foods even when they get availability.
I see that, believe it or not, Pinellas County Schools is actually offering home ec now, really for the first time at Thurgood Marshall, where my son is a student. It's called Food and Consumer Science, but it's cooking and home ec, and it's really exciting. And there was a waiting list for the kids to get on it at Thurgood Marshall. So I'm happy to see that. I see a lot of cooking classes coming up. I see a lot of other people who may not be licensed professionals like I am, but everybody has the right to talk about nutrition and health. And I just think generally people are becoming more aware that what you do three or four times a day matters, and that's eat.
Right.
I think that the time has come where we just cannot continue to live on this highly processed, low nutrient diet and think that we're going to get out of it unscathed, because we're not.
And when we use the examples that we have thus far with the Publix and Whole Foods and all of those, they have a size element to them. What about options that are a little more, you know, like pop-up Publix? Why can't Publix bring a truck to an area a certain day a week and just rotate that truck and people can just come and, you know, there's plenty of communities around the world that do things like that. Does it have to be a one big central location? Because I guess by definition, a food desert is anything with food that's a mile or more away. And so with these, it seems like with the mobility element in there, obviously resources used in that, but you could hit a couple of those areas at once with one vehicle even.
I think that's a great idea. And I'm looking into something similar to that. Every month, the St. Pete Police Department teams up with Feeding Tampa Bay to do a grocery distribution at Tangerine Plaza, which is where we have the Walmart that's now been closed. How many days, Wendy?
December, we'll be hitting about 1,000 days that it's been closed.
Right, right. So over 2.5 years.
Right.
And that is really the heart of one of our largest food desert areas. And everyone gets a box of groceries, no questions asked, no paperwork needed. All they ask is for the number of people in the household and how many are children. And on a regular basis, each month, we distribute groceries to over 150 families. Feeding Tampa Bay has some other great options that they've implemented, including a mobile market. And it's very similar to what you just described. They have a truck that visits different locations around Tampa Bay where folks can go and buy some of their, you know, basic, you know, produce, bread, and, you know, just some staple items. But the produce is really what has me interested in this concept, because that's what we're really, really missing out there in these neighborhoods. I am talking with them now about how we might be able to help scale that and really target some of our food desert areas, because when it's mobile, they can really, you know, go anywhere and whatever the resources are that they need. I want to try to get that sent their way so that they can help serve, you know, many of these areas. That is, however, a short-term solution. I think it does meet a need, but if they're only coming out a couple of times a month, how much good can that really do? I want people to be able to have access to healthy foods anytime they want, and not just when a truck is going to show up or when free food is being given out. Every person deserves that.
Sure.
And in St. Petersburg, we have to make it our mission to ensure that every single person who lives in this city has easy access to healthy and affordable food.
And I think that, you know, goes back into how the larger issue of the income, because obviously Walmart has a track record of existing in, you know, successfully in low income neighborhoods, and they weren't able to make a viable go of it at Tangerine Plaza. So the financial model may not be there to support the overhead of a store and make it even break even, or, you know, obviously they prefer profitable. So, you know, that speaks to having to get the wages and the jobs and the finances up to a point where the neighborhood can support it, or, you know, again, look at alternative means that taps more into the philanthropy.
Right. And I think when we consider the large area that includes our folks who are food insecure, we need more than one location, right?
Yeah.
So the solution I see is a combination of different things. I think that we need to support the one community grocery co-op and get it up and running, because that not only meets our needs for good groceries, but that really helps to build community wealth. And that's just an incredible opportunity that we can't pass up. We also need to have some type of a non-traditional grocery option. Mm-hmm. And we can have that spread out. That's the only way that we're going to solve this, is to have multiple solutions so that everyone is, you know, within a half mile or so of a grocery option.
I completely agree that this multifaceted problem and many different solutions can meet the need. It's not just one thing. There are two USDA designated food deserts in St. Petersburg, and the term nutrition equity comes up a lot. And are food trucks truly nutrition equity? They help meet a need, but like Gina said, a true nutrition equity is being able to go and buy your groceries at any time, 7 days a week, during normal store hours of, say, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So having to wait for a period of time on a Tuesday, say from 2 to 4, to get your produce is, in my opinion, not true nutrition equity, because a lot of people do work traditional business hours, 8 to 5, and they may miss these small windows of opportunity to access the food.
Sure. So as you're on the grassroots level working on this, Wendy, what are some other ways, you know, if we have people who are listening to this who want to jump in and participate and help add their thinking, add their money, add their manpower to this effort, what are some of the best ways for them to do that?
I find that there is some, I can't believe it, disbelief that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing, is to say that I do agree that there is a problem and there are food deserts and they are designated by the USDA. Perhaps getting involved with the One Community Grocery Co-op, advocating, just kind of standing up and getting involved with the co-op and just being an active participant in being a voice that there is a problem and the playing field is not level. In St. Pete, as great as we have it, downtown is gorgeous and tourism is booming. It's incredible, this city. But every day I'm at the hospital and I see people who aren't living the dream. And it's as simple as food. And when you can't eat, there is very, very little else you can do that's productive in society.
I can think of three things that people can do right now to contribute to solutions to this problem. Number one, Feeding Tampa Bay and the police department and I are out there at Tangerine Plaza every second Tuesday of every month at 4:30 to distribute groceries to anyone who walks up. Volunteer with us. Come and help me hand out food and look into people's eyes who are living this situation. Number two, look into the One Community Grocery Co-op. It is the real deal. And we need more people to get involved in order to help it launch and be successful. Number three, the city administration will soon be releasing an RFP for ideas for Tangerine Plaza. We need proposals that work. We need proposals that are viable. If you or anyone that you know has a solid idea, a solid plan for that property, please consider submitting a proposal. We need real solutions here. It needs to include a grocery option. As you can see, this is something that is a no-brainer. And I have already stated that I will not vote for any plan that doesn't include a grocery option with healthy, affordable food. So if you do know someone who is interested in being part of that solution and has a real development plan, I hope that you will take that into consideration.
You know, and St. Pete Free Clinic did a neat sort of visualization technique at their breakfast where they gave you a certain number of chips and then you had to apply them to what you would spend your money on. But a similar exercise would be, you know, next time maybe you're getting gas or near a convenience store to walk in there and just look around and say, if this was really my only option to feed my family, what would I feed them? And just see how limited the choices are, a few cans here and there, and maybe the odd banana by the checkout counter. But you know, that starts to get the right mindset to understand that even in this plentiful country that we live in, you know, for some people, it is just an ongoing effort to have to go and find food other than what's available at these places. I've appreciated you coming in, and I appreciate the work that you both are doing on this issue, and we'll continue to highlight the solutions that you come up with and make sure that everybody has as much information as possible so they can all participate in making things better. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.